Caroline, Willie, D. Mays, 102.5, 106.3, The Game and The Game Nashville app. We are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live every single day. Normally, Jonathan Hutton, Hot Mike with Hutton and Withrow, joins us at noon on Wednesdays. He will join us at noon tomorrow because we had to get Trevor Maddich on the program today. We heard Tyke Tolbert, Titans wide receivers coach, say, hey, I heard somebody questioning Treylon Burks' effort. And Tyke Tolbert explained, hey, you know, they were going 50% speed. They weren't going, you know, full effort. I told them not to go full effort. Trevor Maddich joined Jared Stillman's show yesterday and responded to what he heard from Tyke Tolbert. This was Trevor Maddich.
What a coach says about a player in public and what he says to a player behind closed doors are often different, and the coach often has different reasons for that. And so I am in no way being critical of the coach. I wasn't talking about his physical effort on full speed reps. I talked to you, Jared, repeatedly about you don't always go full speed physically, but you must always be at full focus mentally. They drafted, the Titans did, a rookie, Jaquan Jackson, right?
From Tulane, yep.
He did, yeah, and I watched him in that same practice be incredibly deliberate in watching with his eyes the ball hit his hands and then watch with his eyes as he tucked it away to secure it. I wasn't talking about his physical effort. I was talking about his mental focus as was manifest by his physical actions going through these drills. And so that's what I was upset about. I absolutely stand by it. I'm happy to talk to any the assistant coach, head coach, player, former player. I'm happy to talk about that because I have seen way too many players that practice in such a way that they guarantee they will not be able to get the most out of their ability.
Again, that was Trevor Maddich on Jared's show yesterday. Trevor says, I'll debate any coach, GM, former player on this. Well, luckily enough, we have a former player of our own, and joining the program now is Trevor Maddich, ESPN college football and NFL analyst. Trevor, appreciate for joining us on the show today. Always appreciate your takes and insight on Jared's show every single Tuesday. I want to open up the floor to you before we send it to D-Maze for you to discuss. If you wouldn't mind just breaking down what you saw from Treylon Burks and what led you to believe that he wasn't giving his full effort and where you stand now with Burks after we heard from Tyke Tolbert, Titans wide receivers coach.
Okay, well, let's start with that. By the way, it's great to be on. I appreciate you guys giving me a chance to come on and talk about this.
Absolutely.
I do stand by everything that I said. And I respect Coach Tolbert. And I don't think he sits around listening to people on the radio. Somebody told them or told him what they thought I said, and he responded to that. The response that I heard in the clips that were played were that he wasn't going 100% in certain drills physically because he had already gone 100% in special teams drills in the drills prior to that particular section of practice. And he was told that he should choke it down a little bit so that he could pick up the speed again in the next drills. And that's normal. You've got walk-through speed, jog-through, half-speed, three-quarter speed, full speed, and different guys will go at different speeds depending on different needs over the course of a practice. That is normal. But it sounded like Coach Tolbert was responding to what he was told was a criticism of Treylon Burks' physical effort. It was not that. I took great care to say that this is not about physical effort, that it was about mental focus through those drills. And I said that in the drills that are not full speed, it's even more important to maintain full speed physical focus in what you're doing, because otherwise you practice losing focus. Otherwise you practice failure. And I looked at all those other receivers, and most of them were performing, whether they were rookies or whether they were seasoned veterans, they were performing mentally the way you should in practice, even if you're going through at lower speed. And I did not see that with Treylon Burks too often. And after a while, it just made me very annoyed because those other players, he owes to the other players. They deserve that every single teammate practices the best he possibly can, not the fastest he possibly can, the best he possibly can, because that's how you keep a job, man. You win football games, and they tend to keep the team together. And when I see a guy do something like I saw Treylon Burks in that snapshot that day, and I talked about it with Jared as a snapshot, in that day, I looked at it as a player thinking, you know what? That guy can help us win. And practicing like that, he's not going to get anywhere near as good as he could possibly be, especially when you've got a first-round draft choice who in his first couple of years has not performed to expectation for a variety of reasons, injuries, et cetera. But either way, this is a big prove-it year for him. The team brought in two veteran free agent receivers, not to mention DeAndre Hopkins, and that bounced Burks down to number four, and he was told he's got to play special teams now. And I'm watching that kind of mental focus to finish drills. And I tell you what, I was not happy about it. But here's the thing. I'm hearing a lot of conversation about how the coach said that the effort is good, that he doesn't always run full speed. Sometimes it's 75%. Sometimes it's less, depending on what the drill is. And people saying that, well, Trevor's take is wrong because he didn't know that the coach told him to not run as fast in that drill. Here's the problem. That's not what I said. I was talking about mental focus, especially when the drills are less than full speed, even a walkthrough. That's what I was talking about. And so I am, I think it's, to use a word that I heard thrown around, I think it's highly irresponsible to slam me and my take based on something that I did not say. And I yield the floor back with a smile.
Well, thank you. And I will take over for now. And thank you for coming on too, Trevor. We appreciate it. Again, let's start with the irresponsible, because I said that. I thought my take was, because we respect what you say just about more than anybody that comes on this air when we're talking football, to me, it was irresponsible to say that, not knowing at that moment what the context of the drill was. I was alluding to that. Like, if you know what the context of the drill is, like me going out there to practice, if I don't know what they're trying to accomplish, if I see something that I don't think is full speed or whatnot, then I may say something on the air, or I may say something to somebody else that's sitting right there if I don't know the context of the actual drill. But typically in these situations, especially when, you know, a guy has been playing special teams, and you know this, Trevor, a guy has been playing special teams, he's running kickoff, kickoff return, punt return, being a gunner. Those guys are up and down the field, all while the other guys are slowly slow-mowing it into practice. They're warming up, they're stretching, and then once we get into the drill, usually that first drill or that second drill that they do, usually it's half speed, quarter speed, three-quarter, whatever the coach. Why? Because he understands that those guys are now coming from special teams and they're tired. So he want to make sure physically they get the drill in, whatever they need to get in, they get in and they work it. But he doesn't want them to go fast. Now, I can't, as somebody watching, I can't determine what his mental focus is. I just can't do it. I'm going by his body. And if I know what the drill entails, then I'm not going to think too much of it. It's like coach said, go half speed. These guys are running half speed. Some may be running full speed. Usually rookie guys, they don't know nothing but full speed. So even when you tell them half speed or three-quarter speed, they're still going full speed. Why? Because they want to earn the job. I get that part. Veteran guys, no matter if you're a third-year veteran, 10-year veteran, when the coach says three-quarter speed, you taking every opportunity to go three-quarter speed, because you know more than anybody on that field, wide receivers run more than anybody on that field, probably outside of maybe the defensive backs. But more other than that, we run more than anybody. So any chance we can get to take off or slow-mo it, we're going to slow-mo it. But that doesn't mean that from a mental standpoint, we're not still getting the work done. It can be an exaggerated catch, like just holding the ball out there, working on your grip on the ball. It could be like you said, and I heard what you said too, like tuck the ball in, turn up. That's another part of it. So we don't know exactly. Well, I don't, because I wasn't out there. You were. But I wouldn't know, even if I was out there and I didn't know what the purpose of the drill was, I wouldn't know whether he was going full speed mentally or half speed mentally. I don't know that because I don't know what they're trying to get out of that drill. You see what I'm saying, Trevor? So
that's why I said what I said.
Yeah.
For people listening, D. Mason and I are brothers. We were coming into this. We will be coming out
exactly.
of it. We see it differently. And so, you know, it's people need to understand that we're brothers and we're good. But we see it differently. I do need, Caroline, you to do me a favor, though.
Sure thing.
I need you to Google classes for English as a second language and get me signed up so I can get over there, because clearly my English isn't very good. Because, once again, D-Mace, my brother, you were talking about 75% speed, full speed. Guys do special teams drill. They don't run as fast as the next drill. I totally just said again, I'm not talking about how fast he runs.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Now let me give you an idea of what I'm talking about. Okay, let me give you an offensive line example, and then I'll talk about what I saw over there. Mm-hmm. Okay? And you tell me as a receiver if I'm off base.
Okay.
From an offensive line standpoint, I remember standing out at Washington Commanders training camp before they were the Commanders. We'll just call them that for now. And there was a double team drill between the offensive tackles and tight ends. And there was a young coach out there overseeing it. And I watched those guys practice to fail. It was just sort of a jog through speed where they would take their first steps. They would fit up hip to hip, shoulder to shoulder, and drive the guy with the blocking dummy back a few yards. And then that would be the end of that rep. Right.
Mm-hmm.
So what I saw them do was take two good steps, get fit up side to side, and then narrow their base on the third step and start to stand up as they continue to finish the drill and drive the guy back a few yards with a narrow base and with standing up, right? And so it wasn't like take two steps, stop, that's the end of the drill. It was two steps, drive them back, that's the end of the drill. So what they practiced was take two good first steps, then narrow your base and stand up. That was their muscle memory. Mm-hmm. That was their mental focus. What should they have done? Take those two first good steps, and then as long as you're continuing the drill, keep a good low pad level and keep good base with your feet, have them proper width, and then drive the defender back with that proper mental focus before you stop and stand up and move away. Because otherwise you're practicing the opposite. I'll add this. I did a lot of things in the league. I started games at left tackle, left guard, center, right guard. I played right tackle. I was number 46 for the Jets one year. I was playing so much tight end, and I did all the long snapping, and the long snapping thing is a segment. Because there were things that I did there that nobody else did that nobody else has since, and it was good. But for extra point and field goal, the holder and kicker always want to practice a bad snap drill. And whenever the holder said to me, okay, Trevor, give me some bad snaps, I would always say no. No, I will not practice a bad snap, ever. You get somebody else to give you bad snaps, right? So now, I'm watching Treylon Burks and the receivers. What I'm seeing is in, you know, half-speed drills, jog-speed drills, three-quarter speed, and it wasn't just the drill after special teams. It was over the course of practice. I'm watching Nick Westbrook-Ikhine run his route, see the ball, catch it, tuck it in, watch it with his eyes tucking it in, and then spin or make a little jump cut, not full speed, but just muscle memory, mental memory, habit, so that in the game, that's what he automatically does. I'm watching the veteran receivers do that. I'm watching young receivers do that. And then I see Treylon Burks at the beginning of a route or a drill he would run. He would run hard, man. He'd get off the ball. He would make a really good cut. And then the ball's coming in, and he would just stand up, reach down and grab the ball. Sometimes he's looking at it. Sometimes he's not. And then he'd sort of bring it in towards, you know, a tuck position. Sometimes he'd bring it all the way in. Sometimes he wouldn't bring it all the way in. He'd bring it halfway in and then toss it back. And when he reaches down to catch the ball and then just doesn't bring it all the way in, look it in, and secure it, whether he's in a walkthrough speed or anything else, if he brings it halfway through while he's looking somewhere else and then just tosses the ball away. Every time he does that, he misses an opportunity to groove a muscle memory to have it done the same way every time, at least try to do it the same way every time because he's not being hit, right? And have his eyes in the right place every time, just like Nick Westbrook-Ikhine did, just like the rookie Jaquan Jackson did, just like Calvin Ridley did, the rest of them did. Now, it's not like every single time you touch the ball, you have to do that or you're failing. But when you're doing a drill where you're running a route, and I see you at the end of the route do the thing that receivers need to do most, which is catch the ball, secure the ball, and then just make some sort of a move, turn up, whatever. It doesn't have to be full speed. I don't care if it's full speed. If it's not full speed, it's more important to make sure that you do those fundamentals of catch, secure it, make sure your eyes are in the same spot, and then make a move or don't make a move. But boy, if you are not catching it and securing it every time when the quarterback's throwing you the ball in a quarterback receiver drill, you tell me if I'm wrong, D-Mace, because you played receiver, I didn't. That, to me, is like the offensive lineman and tight end drill where they are doing the first part of the rep correctly and then practicing to fail in the second half of the rep. That's what bothered me, and it especially bothered me because this is a prove-it season for the current fourth priority wide receiver, Treylon Burks, who needs to show the coach that he's doing everything he can to be able to break out.
Okay. You are absolutely positively right. You're not wrong from that standpoint. But again, here's what my issue was with that, Trevor, is that I would cut him. That when you say that, that's all people hear. And you know that. I mean, just as well as anybody else knows it. When you say he needs to be cut or I would cut him, people don't listen to what you say before it. People are not listening to what you say after it. You could have said something glowingly about him afterwards, but what you said in that middle part, that's the only thing people are hearing. Cut him. And when it comes from somebody like you that is well-respected in his business, everybody's going to start running with this, oh, cut trading. Look at what he did in practice. Cut him. And my thing is, whoa, 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 pump your brakes. I've been in that position. I've played that position. I understand some of these drills, well, basically all of them, unless they've added some new ones in there. I understand all these drills and what they're trying to accomplish or what the coach wants for that particular player. Slow it down mentally. Get your reps in. Again, like I said, some guys exaggerate certain things. Some guys make sure they catch the ball. Don't tuck it in. Some guys catch it. And I've seen guys, I've done it, caught it and flipped it to the guy and went and got back in line. So those things don't necessarily mean to me that the guy is not mentally focused throughout practice or even in that individual drill. It's what are you trying to get out of it? Now, if it becomes that every single drill that he goes through just about every day, then, yeah, we got to change some things. We got to look at what we're doing as a coaching staff and say, hey, listen, we can't have too many of these, you know, three-quarter drills or these half-quarter drills because some guys, they either go full speed or they don't go full speed, one or the other. And if we want him to go full speed every time, mentally and physically, then we need to say, hey, listen, you take a playoff or two, and when you're ready, get back in line so you then can go full speed. That's something that I've seen coaches do as well. So to me, it's not just the mental aspect. It's when you say, I would cut him. That's the only thing people are hearing, Trevor. You know how this world works, and you know how the sports world works. They just want to grab on that one soundbite. Again, you could have said glowing things about Treylon before, and you could have said glowing things about Treylon after, which you have. But the only thing people are hearing is Trevor said cut him. This team needs to cut him because he's not going full speed. Not knowing that, hey, listen, they've been practicing for an hour and a half. He went full speed for 1 hour and 35 minutes. Of that other 5 minutes or 1 hour and 25 minutes, the other 5 minutes, coach said relax. He relaxed. Now, again, I can't tell whether mentally he's going full speed or he's not. But I know one thing. When the coach says throttle it down, some guys truly throttle it down. And Maybe the coach needs to change that if he wants Traylon to go 100, 100 miles per hour with everything, mentally and physically.
No, but see, we got to separate mentally and physically.
Yes.
Any discussion of full speed or not full speed physically is not a part of this whole thing.
So we're talking just from a mental standpoint. Yes.
And finishing the drill mentally is what I'm saying.
Yes.
And the thing is, and you're right, you don't always catch the ball, tuck it in every single time, right? There's times you just catch it and toss it back. That's what you're doing. I'm not just talking about one drill. Mm-hmm. I'm talking about too many over the course of an entire practice. But the reason I said what I said, though, and I will say that you are right, that there are people in our business that will say things that are really strong because they don't know what else to say. Mm-hmm. And there's other guys that'll do it because they are trying to get attention. Okay? People that listen to me.
And I'm not saying you're doing either, Trevor. I wouldn't say you were doing either.
I'm not saying that you're saying that. This is just for the fans that don't listen to me as much. When it comes to me, I'm always looking, I will always call it like I see it. Mm-hmm. But I am really slow to say things like I just said. It probably shocked everybody's system that used to listen to me that I said that. But here's the reason that I said those words.
Okay.
The reason that I said I'd cut him today is because after a couple of years of not being able to perform, whether it's injury or whether it's practice habits or whether it's allergies or whatever it's going to be, that's irrelevant to where he is today. Where he is today is bounce down to the fourth because there's three new guys that are all ahead of him. He's now playing special teams. In order for him to really kind of rekindle his career as a receiver, he needs to be giving everything he's got. Physically, sometimes you can't give everything you've got because that's not the nature of the drill, or you're injured, or you're taking some time off because you're sore, or something, or whatever it is, that's totally normal. It's like Legarius Sneed with his knees. He doesn't go out physically and practice and go 100%. He probably won't practice a whole lot this year. Physically, different people are in different places. Mm-hmm. But with a guy that's in that position where he needs to not only show the team that this is going to be a different year, not only show the coaches that he is completely dialed in and bought in, not only that, for that purpose, but for his own purpose, his own selfish purpose, to do everything possible to be as good as he can possibly be this year, for him to not finish drills mentally, and that's my opinion, but it's not an uninformed opinion. And it's not that I can read his mind. I don't need to read his mind to see what he's doing. He's running a fast route with quarterbacks. He runs the route, and then all of a sudden the ball comes in, he stops. He sort of, reaches down and catches the ball. He sometimes looks it into his hands. Sometimes he doesn't because, it's not coming very hard. And then sometimes he tucks it in, and sometimes he doesn't, and sometimes he watches it in, and sometimes he doesn't. That kind of a thing in the situation that he's in, I do not want my team, if I'm a coach, watching a first-round draft choice with that kind of mental buy-in. I do not want my rookies looking at that guy as an example of how to practice in the NFL. And I'll tell you what, and the reason I said that I'd cut him for that is because physically, sometimes you can't or you don't do things. But mentally, if you don't, it's because you choose not to.
Yeah, you're right about that. From a mental standpoint, let's get the physical out. But from a mental standpoint, yes, if you choose not to mentally go through a route or a play, then that's an opportunity you've lost. But again,
finish the play. Well, I'm talking about finishing it to the end of the drill to include secure the ball in the kind of a drill where you're out in the field running a route.
Exactly. Well, and again, I go back to, a guy of his caliber or a receiver, period, after coming from special teams, you want to slow everything down. Now, sometimes, slowing things down means slowing things down for you as a whole, not just physically, but it's mentally as well. So go ahead. What you're about to say?
Let's get past the drill after the special teams drill. Let's go to look at it as a body of a practice because it's not just that one drill. And it wasn't every single time.
Exactly.
It was just enough that I noticed. That's all.
Trevor Maddich is with us. Trevor, one thing that DeMeus and I have been talking about throughout the offseason is not if Treylon Burks can be a wide receiver in the NFL. We see the talent. We see the size. We've seen the speed and the ability. We know that he has the physical attributes to be an NFL player. But the question that we've had is, does he want it? Does he want to succeed in the NFL? Does he want to live up to the expectations of a first-round pick and doing what it takes to live up to those, albeit high expectations? Does he want to live up to those expectations? You mentioned how it's just a snapshot. You were at a practice. It was a snapshot. It's, you know, you're not following around Treylon Burks everywhere he goes. But from the snapshot that you saw, do you think that Treylon Burks wants it?
It looked like on special teams he did. As a gunner on punt, he's going to win games for this team because he can do things. He's so big and physical, no one's going to take him off his line. He's so fast, he can get down and disrupt that returner before he gets started and save the punt return team 4 or 5 yards a couple of times a game, which might be the difference between a long field goal and a short punt by the offense on the ensuing drive. So I was very impressed with that. From a receiver standpoint, he didn't sell me. If it were a court of law and I were on the jury, could I, beyond a reasonable doubt, say that, man, this guy really is going through the grind with everything he's got mentally, because physically is out of this equation. That's not what I'm talking about. I would convict Jaquan Jackson of that. He was dialed in, man, doing the best he could. I would convict Nick Westbrook-Ikhine. I would convict DeAndre Hopkins and Calvin Ridley and Tyler Boyd. Those guys, mentally, they did what they had to do physically to be ready and to et cetera. But mentally, those guys were locked in when it was time to do what they needed to do. And so from Burks' standpoint, the thing that with a guy like that, he has opened the door to questioning whether or not he wants to prepare hard. A lot of times when you get a young athlete who's bigger, stronger, faster than everybody else, he just gets by on being bigger, stronger, faster. And sometimes they can even get by that way in college, right? You know, if you're that way in high school, you get to college, everybody's big and strong and fast, and sometimes then you don't know how to practice well, you don't want to practice well, your technique isn't up to speed, and you fall away. But some guys are so big and strong and fast that they take it right into the NFL. Now, everybody's bigger and stronger and faster still. And if you don't practice right, then the best you can say is that you won't be anywhere near your potential when it comes to achievement. Yeah. And so Treylon Burks right now has to prove that he is willing, whether he likes it or not, that he is willing to stay focused on these things that we're talking about. Not run hard in practice. Sometimes you do, sometimes you don't. And I saw him run hard a lot in this practice. Whenever it was required to run hard, he ran hard. That's not what I'm talking about. And so that's something that I'm not sold on yet.
And you're right. I don't think there's any way, because we've had this discussion about Treylon. I don't think there's any way we can determine whether, from a mental standpoint, whether he's going 100%, whether he wants it or not. That's solely up to Treylon. But I haven't heard anything come out of that building. Now, again, they may be holding it all in. I don't know. But I haven't heard anything come out of that building questioning.
You have, though. Teammates, you have.
No. I haven't heard anything out of that building questioning his effort. I haven't heard it.
No.
This year, I didn't hear it last year. I didn't hear it the year before. What I'm hearing coming out of that building is he can't stay on the field. He's always hurt. He needs to prove it this year because he hasn't been on the field enough. He's missed too many games for whatever reason. He's had concussions. He's had some fluke injuries that have happened to him his first 2 years in the NFL, and it's just unfortunate for him. But even with the last regime, I've never heard Treylon not being mentally focused at practice or in the game. Now, we can question everything else that goes around, whether – you know, he can be on the field, whether he's injury prone, stuff like that. We can question that. I question that. But one thing I haven't heard come out of that building, again, they could be holding some stuff back. I don't know. But one thing I haven't heard was a coach saying, whether it be this regime or last regime, saying Treylon is not working hard. He's not mentally and physically ready to go, other than his first year when he wasn't ready. When he first came, he was out of shape. But after that, they've been raving about him. So until I hear it come out of that building, from them, then I'm going to continue to think that Traylon's working hard. But even in working hard, he has to stay on the field. I've reiterated that 100 times about Traylon. But when it comes from a mental aspect, again, we've talked about this. I can't determine whether Traylon Burks wants it or not. That's solely up to Traylon Burks. They'll get a good idea once they get going whether he wants it or not from a mental standpoint. Right now, they're operating from the standpoint of, hey, listen, we just got to get this kid staying on the field because he hasn't been able to stay on the field. If we get him to stay on the field, then hopefully, maybe we start to see some of that talent. But never once have I heard them question his effort, whether it be this regime or the last regime. Now, that's in public. I haven't heard that in public. I haven't heard it in private either. No one's told me that. But you may have heard something different. Willie and Caroline or Jared, they may have heard something different, but I haven't heard that.
Well, Trevor, I'll ask you this. Do you think they would say anything publicly, even if they did question Traylon Burks' effort?
Not this staff. Coach Brian Callahan was praising people when he first came in, you know, just based on tape that, you know, some of the local commentators were like, wait a minute, what? You said that about that guy? We've been watching him since he's been, you know, that kind of a thing. So, no, I haven't heard anything either about them saying anything bad about Traylon's effort or focus or anything like that. I'm telling you what I saw. But here's the thing, though, about you know, identifying what a mindset might be, at least on a particular rep or a particular drill or something like that. You can't really tell what a guy is thinking, but you can often tell what he's not thinking. And again, going back to running a drill, not a mean just warm-up drill, you're jogging through, you catch the ball, whatever. I'm talking about you're running a route hard and fast, and here comes the ball. If all the other receivers are watching the ball with their hands, watching the ball into the tuck, and then making a move, half-speed move, whatever the speed is, but they're doing that, you know that they're thinking, I'm practicing catching and securing that ball and making sure my eyes are in the right place. And if you're doing that half the time, then you know that that's not a priority mentally. That's what I'm saying. I'm not saying I can read people's minds. I'm just looking at that going, that's not hard to do if you choose to do it. If you don't choose to do it, tell me why that's okay, because I may be wrong.
Trevor Maddich is with us. Trevor, you've been incredibly gracious with your time. Just one quick question before we let you go. What do you say to some of our listeners or those on social media who say, well, who cares? It's just practice.
I will quote Ray Lewis, the great Hall of Fame linebacker of the Baltimore Ravens, Super Bowl champion. They pay me to practice. Games are free. And then I will tell you what Nick Saban of Alabama said. Nick Saban said, you don't practice till you get it right. You practice till you can't get it wrong. And he also said, practice doesn't make perfect. Perfect practice makes perfect. The physical side of practice is important. The mental side of practice is the hard part, because it's too easy to lose mental focus when you slow down physically. But then you're training the wrong thing. And the last thing I want to say is this. D-Mace, mm-hmm. I love you. Mm-hmm. I respect you. You played receiver. I did not. And so this was a great discussion, and I've enjoyed it. But I've got to tell you, man, mm-hmm. that you're still my brother. I hope I'm still yours.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
And we'll continue to move on forward.
Absolutely. That's why, I mean, that's why we had you on. We're not scared of conversation, even if we disagree. You know, we disagree and we move on. So that's the way it is. So, but thanks a lot, Trevor, for coming on. We appreciate it, your insight of not just, you know, the position you play, but other positions. You have the knowledge. You know, you're well respected, as I've said many times in this industry. So thanks for coming on. We appreciate it. Thanks for your insight.
Trevor, you're the best.
All right, thanks, man.
Yep.
Appreciate it. Guys. Appreciate your time, Trevor. Trevor Maddich, ESPN NFL and college football analyst. We do have to hit a break, but we've got a bunch of reaction on the text line, so we are right to you. Your reaction to Trevor and Derek's conversation about Traylon Burks, our reaction to the conversation. Caroline, Willie, D. Mace, we're brought to you by Zen Sports. Start earning cash rewards on your bets today. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-889-9789. Terms and conditions apply. Must be 21 or older and in Tennessee to bet. Become a sponsor for the tournament or register as a team and join the 615 Open presented by Gary Force Acura. Proceeds will help raise money for Souls for Souls. Sponsorship packages could include email campaigns, commercials, radio advertising, and more. So learn more about our different packages and how you can support a good cause at 615open.com. Appreciate Trevor Maddich for joining us earlier in the hour. You, D-Mace, and Trevor were kind of going back and forth about your different perspectives on Treylon Burks. Trevor Maddich said last week on Jared's show he would cut Treylon Burks today for his effort. He kind of doubled down on those statements. You two went back and forth on it last segment. Our reactions from what Trevor had to say.
Listen, Trevor's going to stand by his word, and I'm cool with that. I am honestly, truly cool with that. But that's not my perspective. That's not how I see it. I see it entirely different. And, you know, I am not going to change how I think about this situation because I've been in it. Like, I know. So I'm not going to change it, whether it be from a mental standpoint. I'm take the physical out because it seemed like, you know, that's what Trevor was trying to separate, the mental and the physical. And I'm good. Like, take out the physical. I didn't too much care about. But again, it's from the mental standpoint.
Because that's been our question all along. We know physically he can do it.
Yeah, physically he can do it.
Mentally, where is he at?
Exactly. Mentally, where is he as a player? Now, you know, I'm sure mentally it's been a roller coaster for him because of his injuries. I'm sure he's frustrated, or he was frustrated. And then you bring in two new receivers that sort of, you know, drops him down the totem pole. So in regards to his feelings mentally, he could be just about everywhere. Hopefully he's focused on, you know, coming in and being the best version of himself that he can possibly be. But again, when you step out and you say something like Trevor said, and again, I don't think Trevor, at least me, I don't think Trevor, and I don't think I ever said he was doing it for clicks or anything else. But you got to understand.
For those that don't know, Trevor Maddich, he doesn't care about social media. Like, that's not in his DNA to say something just to be in
headlines. Other than Twitter, he's probably on Twitter. But
I don't even think he's on Twitter.
Everything else, I haven't seen him on it.
He doesn't care about being, you know, shock jock.
So that was never my thing. But what you, just because you don't intend on it to be a lightning rod statement, or you're probably not even thinking about it being a lightning rod statement, others look at it totally different. You're just doing your job. You're just giving an assessment of what you're seeing as a former player. What you say and what everybody else chooses to do with what you say, that's up to them. But I don't think he said it as, I'm going to say this because I wanted to get it circulated all around Nashville and Tennessee and other states. No. But when you say something like that, you got to understand, after looking back on it, you got to understand, well, yeah, I'm going to hold on to what I said, but yeah, I can understand what, whether it was me, Willie, or anybody else, I can understand what they're saying or how they see it or perceive it. Doesn't mean that it's going to, like, you would change it. It's just being able to see the other person's side.
I understand
what Trevor was saying through the whole thing, but my perspective on it, because I've been through it, is totally different from that. Like, you can still be working through things mentally, and somebody from afar can be looking at you and think you're loafing. But no, I'm not loafing. Mentally, I'm on point. I know exactly what I'm doing. Sometimes, like I said, sometimes it may be an exaggeration of the catch. Sometimes I'm not going to tuck it in. Sometimes I'm going to burst off the line of scrimmage fast and then get into my route and then slow up and catch the ball and do what I need to do. So there are a myriad of things that happens within a route in practice. It doesn't always have to be mentally full speed or physically full speed. Whatever I need to get out of this drill, I'm going to get out of it. If the coach says mentally, physically slow it down, I'm going to slow it down. But that doesn't mean I'm still not going to go through my progression of catching the football slowly or exaggerating the catch on the sideline. Maybe I want to hold it out there for a while, squeeze it, toe tap the line of scrimmage, or get up the field. But that doesn't mean that I'm not mentally focused on what I'm doing, because I am mentally focused. That's why I'm doing these certain things that may to you may be, it may look like I'm loafing, but I'm not loafing. I know exactly what I'm doing from a mental standpoint.
I listened to the whole conversation. The attention to detail and the mental reps, all of that stuff to me is a great discussion. I think just as a lover of sports, as a player, as you know, if you're a coach listening, all that is really important, regardless of sport, professional, youth, high school, whatever level, right? You teach good habits, and every detail is important. That's all inbounds. But to me, it's more of a media discussion, the issue I have. And look, when you set off a provocative statement, that's kind of what talk radio is to some degree. Mm-hmm. Like I'd love to sit there and, you know, say, you know, really nice detailed discussion like that without any pizzazz would get great ratings. But sometimes you say something for effect. I just thought that when you say a guy should be cut, and you're saying it as a former pro, that is a little hyperbole. Like, it's not realistic that if a guy is doing exactly what he says Treylon Burks did, that doesn't warrant you being cut. And I just would have liked Trevor to, you know, come to grips with that, right? That, and I'm not saying he intentionally said it with the intention of trying to be a lightning rod, but like Derek said from the beginning, that if you didn't listen to the details and you're just driving along in your car and you're busy doing this or that, you're watching the road and you hear Trevor say, "I'd have cut him." That is what resonates. That's what sticks in your brain. And that's unfair to Treylon Burks. They are not going to cut him because of his lack of details in one snapshot, as he said it, practice. It's not in the real realm. And Trevor knows that. But to stick by that, I would have liked him to say, okay, look, they weren't realistic. I exaggerated to make a point. And that's okay. That's what talk radio is. We go hard to drive home our point sometimes.
I don't know if he was exaggerating to make a point.
But
I think it's
when is the last time you heard a guy do exactly that in practice? One thing he said, he overslept 3 days in a row and he's missed practice and he's cut on the spot. That's different than what he's saying. I don't think I've ever heard of a player get cut for doing exactly what Trevor said he did.
Unless there were
other snapshot. In a snapshot.
And Trevor didn't say that he's going to get cut. Trevor said, look, based off of his effort, I would have cut him today.
Well, he would have cut a lot of guys then. And he'd have like three guys on his team. If you held everybody to that standard.
And Trev's not a general manager.
But you see my point. Trevor knows these things. It's not a person who hasn't been on the field saying that. That's what disappointed me. That's the only thing. His point is great.
We have to hit a break real quick. I do want to get into some reaction on the phones as well. So we will continue this conversation coming up next. Caroline Willie D. Mace, 1025-1063 The Game. Caroline Willie D. Mace, 1025-1063 The Game. Again, appreciate Trevor Maddish for stopping by earlier this hour. We'll catch up with Tim Hasselbeck, ESPN NFL analyst, in just a few moments. Do want to run all of this by Tim, our conversation with Trevor Maddish and Trevor Maddish's evaluation of what he saw from Treylon Burks in practice. Before we get to Tim, just a quick thought. I'm seeing a bunch of thoughts in our text line of, you know, why is everyone bashing on Trevor's opinion? Why can't Trevor have his opinion on what he saw? My thought on this is it's really easy to dismiss an opinion that might be uncomfortable, something that you might not want to hear. I don't think anyone wants to hear what Trevor evaluated of Treylon Burks in practice. It was Trevor's opinion, but it's not a comfortable one to hear. To hear Treylon Burks from Trevor's opinion was kind of dogging it in practice.
To me, it's not easy to dismiss. Opinion's not the word. I have no problem with his opinion or his observation. It's the hyperbole of saying, I would cut him. That's hyperbole.
I don't think that Trevor.
He really means that.
Well, he told us he doesn't want that attitude in the locker room, and that was his justification for it. You don't have to agree with it.
But you cut a guy over a habit that you observe over a long period of time. He was talking about, in his own words, a snapshot of one practice. Nobody gets cut, especially somebody that we know. We've watched Treylon Burks for 3 years. I don't think he's got that tag, as D-Mace pointed out several times. So, again, I'm only talking – the only problem I had with anything that Trevor said was that he would cut him. That's shock jock stuff.
And that phrase was the premise around everything that we discussed was, you know, when you say something like that, listen, I'm not asking for him to, you know, recant what he said or anything else. He's going to stick to it, and I respect that. But you, even in sticking to it, you got to know. You can't, and I'm not saying that he is, but anybody in this, you can't be too bullheaded to think, no, what I said, there was nothing completely wrong what I said. Well, in this world and in this space, when you're talking about a particular player, there is something wrong with that if that's not the consensus. If it's just a snapshot of what you're seeing, it's not you've been there, or, you know, for 2 weeks or a week, or, you know, the coaches have been, you know, sort of putting this out, or it's been getting out somehow, some way, that Traylon or whoever is dogging it, you know. If that is indeed the case, then yes, we can have that conversation. But in this situation, that wasn't the case. And listen, Trevor said what he had to say. I said what I had to say. I come from a school of thought that I'm not going to continue to argue and try to beat my head against a brick wall. The brick wall ain't going nowhere. My head's going to get bashed. So I'm not going to keep doing it. He said what he said, and I respect that. Trevor and I, we'll still have his take, and I agree with him majority of the times. But this certain situation, that what he said can be taken and ran with it. They can play it on another station. This is what Trevor Maddox said about Traylon Burks on another station, not giving full context. That happens in this business. Mm-hmm. We know it happens in that business. Yeah. That's why I say that was, to me, I'm not, listen, when I said, and when he said some people say irresponsible, it was me that said irresponsible. Me and me only. I'm going to hold on to my words, and I'm going to repeat those. I felt that it was irresponsible. That particular, what he said, that wording was irresponsible to me, because people take that. He could have said Traylon Burks was working so hard, the mm-hmm. drill before, or Traylon's doing great in practice, the drill after. Only thing some people are hearing is, I would cut him. That's all. If I was there, I would cut him. That's all they're hearing. And that's unfair to him. I know that's your opinion, but even in your opinion, I may say some things that's my opinion, but it, you know, somebody else may look at it as, man, that wasn't fair to say. Mm-hmm. And if we talk and have a conversation and I think about it, yeah, you're right. It may not have been fair, but I'm going to stand by what I said. But you may be right. It may not have been fair to say to him at that particular time, but I'm just telling you what I saw at that particular time.
We'll get Tim Hasbeck's thoughts on it. He'll join us coming up next. Caroline, Willie, D. Mays, you can tune into Robbie and Rex Road tomorrow morning from 6 to 9 a.m. for your chance to win tickets to see Alanis Morissette at Bridgestone Arena on June 23rd. Contest presented by Green Trees.